Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Hour two underway. Hour one felt like it was 6 years. Brian Koziol, WGR colleague, called me during the last break to kind of give me a point that I hadn't even really thought of yet. There were two 425 games in the NFL across the league. It was the Bills and Raiders and the Chiefs and Patriots. So most of the country was going to see Chiefs Patriots. So now it's at least looks viable that the entire country is going to watch Chiefs Bills now. So it's basically like a primetime game.
Yeah, for Bills Raiders.
For CBS.
Yep.
It's essentially a primetime game.
America's game of the week.
America's game of the week now.
Due to everybody in the hospital.
Right, because everyone can't play. So something to think about as well for the game this week. What I'm hearing from Benjamin Albright, Albright NFL on Twitter, is it looks like Tuesday, if there are no further positives for New England, Kansas City, which I just would be just shocked about. Anyways, let's go to the Wester Hotline now because my man Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate joins me on the Wester Hotline. Ryan, what a morning, man. It's only noon. It feels like it could be the end of the day already.
Yeah, it seems like there's something else breaking out here every hour, every half an hour today. So it's been a pretty wild morning, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I went into today thinking, well, is Bills-Titans going to happen next week? And then today happened. And I mean, what do you make of the news about Cam Newton, you know, testing positive and what that potentially means for this Patriots team? Because at least in terms of policy, he is now going to at least miss the next two games.
You know, it's interesting, and they said something about he was in isolation, but it's hard to believe that because he's in meetings, he's at practice on the field around all these teammates. So the fact that he tested positive means you're probably, and like you said, I'd be shocked if we didn't see any more positive tests. You're going to see a lot more tests over these next 48 hours, and I'd be stunned if you didn't see more positive tests coming out of New England because here's a guy that's been in the building every day. It's not like he's been out injured or anything like that and hasn't been in the facility. He's been around a lot of the teammates on the practice field. He's been in meeting rooms. So this positive test, you know, if it doesn't lead to more, it's going to be a big stunner. And like you said, yeah, he's going to miss some time here because right now they're saying that this game's going to go on either on Monday or Tuesday, more realistically Tuesday. But will there be more positive tests that cancel that? I would think there's a very high possibility of that happening.
Ryan, you know, one of the things that I think we're all sort of, I know, concerned about, seeing today of all days, it really does feel like the league itself is entering into a very difficult time over the next 2 weeks here, because we've already seen the Vikings, who are going to play this week after not having any additional positive tests. They played the Titans last week. The Titans are not, and the Titans and Steelers game has been postponed. They won't be playing this week. Do you get the sense that the NFL and maybe the league doctors and people that have decision making to do over the next several weeks are really focusing in on some of these teams? And do you get the sense there may be some significant changes coming down from the NFL? Because if they don't act quickly, this is something that absolutely could get out of control and not just be a market-to-market thing, but could turn into a league-wide issue, which we would know could potentially cause a shutdown or a postponement of the entire season, which is nobody is looking and or hoping will happen.
Yeah, the NFL has to look at every option out there on the table, whether that means postponing games, creating a week 18 of sorts, giving every team an additional bye week so that way you have a little buffer window to get those games that are being postponed, future games that are being postponed, because they did already reschedule the game that was supposed to happen this weekend with the Titans and the Steelers. But if there's other games, you know, you have to look at every option. So, like I said, extending the season out a little bit, adding an extra bye week for every team, whether one of them has to be used as a cancellation due to COVID or whatever the case may be. But you have to look at whatever, you know, the most fair and balanced options are out there, because like you said, you can't just kind of turn a blind eye to this and say the show must go on, because then you're going to have this spread like wildfire, and then you're going to be looking at maybe this league, the league does not finish this year. So they have to look out at what's the best option to making sure that this doesn't spread any further than it already has. If it's one or two players, well, then, yeah, the show does go on. That's the whole purpose of the expanded practice squad. But when you have an outbreak like we're seeing in Tennessee right now, eight players, eight personnel, there's no way for this game on Sunday this week against the Steelers to take place. If you still see another positive test from the Titans on Monday, more realistically on Tuesday, I don't think the Bills game goes on. I know Jeremy Fowler reported earlier today that they're optimistic that Bills-Titans game can go on. But in light of everything that's happened since this morning with Cam Newton, with Jordan Te'amu, and these other players that are now starting to, you know, test positive, in Tennessee included, you have to think long and hard about what the best options are for every team out there in the NFL.
Ryan Talbot here on the Wester Hotline. Ryan, let's talk a little Bills-Raiders. Obviously, that's on the docket here coming up. And with this cancellation, well, it hasn't necessarily been made official yet, but there are several reports. There's no way this game between the Chiefs and Patriots is happening on Sunday. There's now reports that it could be potentially Monday or Tuesday. So with that being said, the Bills look to be in prime focus for the 4 p.m. time slot on CBS. There was only two games that were set to take that were set to be broadcasted during the 4 o'clock time slot for CBS. That was the Chiefs, Patriots, and Bills Raiders. So now it's just the Bills Raiders, which means Josh Allen and this Bills team are going to be on display for everybody across the country. So what do you make of the fact that the Bills are basically now playing a primetime NFL game of the week type game with this Chiefs and Patriots game getting canceled?
Well, based on their first three games this season, you know, I think a lot of people in the national, you know, across the United States would love to see this Bills team, this offense that's been putting up a lot of points. Obviously, when the competition was supposed to be Kansas City versus New England, it's understandable why the league went with that game as the nationwide game that was going to be covered. But this is still a nice little option for everyone to kind of see, hey, is this Bills team for real? Is Josh Allen for real after an outstanding opening first three games where, you know, he was named Player of the Month, over 300 yards passing in all three games, 401 of them, obviously. So it's still a nice little consolation prize that I think America's going to be able to watch this game because there's a lot of legitimate talent on this Bills team on both sides of the ball, but obviously it's been the offense that has done the carrying of the team to wins in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Ryan, I had this conversation with Sal Capaccio earlier this morning, and I was kind of talking about the role, the Devin Singletary role, and how I've sort of been, I feel like each week I'm pounding the table, like I want to see more touches from Devin Singletary. Do you get the same sense? Like, do you feel like this is a guy that is kind of sitting in the 12 to 15 touch areas per game, but is a guy that maybe we should be seeing more from? And the only reason I say that is, listen, his yards per carry average is hovering hovering right around that 4.5 to 5 yards per carry. When you get the ball in his hands in the pass game, he makes plays, and I mentioned this earlier. He reminds me of how Rex Ryan used to describe LeSean McCoy, being able to make guys miss in a phone booth. And he's got that same sort of ability to just make one move and get north-south, and I really love that about him. And with the potential that Zach Moss is back in the lineup, like, how do you balance that considering, like, Devin Singletary's earned touches. He's earned to be the guy. Like, he's earned the right to be the guy that is this team's running back one.
Yeah, you know, last week I was saying I was hoping to see him get 20 to 25 touches, which didn't happen. He's making the most of his opportunities. He was able to get into a rhythm last week, and I'd like to see him get more touches this week as well, whether it's out of the backfield or as a receiver, because he's great in both options there out of the Bills' backfield. But at the same time, how do you criticize what the Bills have done to date? I mean, the passing offense is firing on all cylinders, whether it's Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis, even the tight ends like Tyler Kroft coming up big, and Lee Smith, one snap, one touchdown. You know, this passing offense is doing everything and more for the team, so it's kind of also hard to go away from that. Go with what's working for you, but you look at this team they're going against on Sunday in the Raiders. They gave up 250 yards on the ground last week to the Patriots. Now, part of that was due to, I think, they were really expecting Cam Newton to try to run more, so he was their focus on that backfield, and he didn't. He was very limited. They did a nice job against him, whereas they couldn't stop Rex Burkhead, and they couldn't stop Sony Michel. I want to see a little bit of uptick in Singletary's carries, even if Zach Moss is back. You know, get Moss out there on a few snaps here and there. He's been really good in terms of blocking for the quarterback, too, when he's been out there in these first two games that I saw him. Even a nice, impressive block on, I believe it was the touchdown pass that Allen made to Reggie Gilliam against the Dolphins. So there's a role for him. But Singletary looks great out of the backfield, and he looks fantastic as a receiver. So, you know, let him be your number one back. Ease Zach Moss back into the lineup and give him a few more carries out of the backfield. But at the same time, don't go away from that passing offense, because I think, again, they have a great great matchup this week.
Ryan Talbot here on the Wester Hotline. Ryan is a writer over at New York Upstate. I think the offense, to a certain extent, before we get into the defense, Ryan, one of the things that I've maybe been most impressed with about the offense as a whole is it's not just the wide receivers, but how and I mentioned this earlier too to Sal, is like out of the 10 touchdowns Josh Allen has through the first three games of the season, he's got 8 different recipients of touchdowns at the other end of those. Like, he is spreading the ball out amongst every person on this offense. If you're playing and you get open, Josh Allen is rewarding you with a throw and with opportunities. And I think, you know, that is something to be said about guys at the bottom of this roster, the Gabriel Davises, right, the Isaiah McKenzies, even to a certain extent, the Andre Roberts, guys that aren't necessarily going to be playing more than, you know, 5, 10, 15 snaps a game. When you get in the game, if you do your job, there's a good chance Josh Allen's going to find you. And I think that says something to, A, his ability to read the field, process everything. I think that is one of the areas that has maybe been most impressive to me, Ryan, is his ability to process, to go from left to right, to get through all of his reads on a given play, which isn't easy when you consider that on some plays he's got between 4 and 5 guys on a given play going out for routes. So that when you have 5 targets, 5 potential reads on a given play, you really have to understand what the defense is throwing at you for you to be able to read everything properly and make the right decision.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. The one thing I was going to say is Josh Allen, it felt like, you know, obviously in his rookie year, it was like a one-read throw type deal. And even last year at times, it felt like he wasn't scanning the entire field. He was missing guys running open because maybe he was only looking at 1 or 2 progressions before getting rid of the ball or running with the ball. This year he has scanned the field well. He's gone through every option. Obviously, no quarterback's perfect. There's been a few plays where there's been someone running open, but that's to be expected. But overall, he's been fantastic. He has been scanning the field, finding the right guy 9 out of 10 times. That also speaks to what Brian Daboll has been doing with his personnel. He finally has the personnel to match up to his kind of play calling, his creativity, and you're seeing guys running wide open, getting open. Greg Cassell had a great little feature on that. That was on Twitter yesterday, where he was showing these routes and showing how Gabe Davis broke free on one, and it's allowing Allen to kind of really fire in some great passes. One to Cole Beasley along the sidelines last week that went for a big gainer, got him right near the goal, you know, first and goal there. So Allen's doing his job extremely well. Brian Daboll is doing his job extremely well. And all of Buffalo's pass catchers are contributing when their numbers have been called.
You know, I think, too, what sort of the next area I think that we should consider talking about here, Ryan, is across the offensive line. Obviously, last week there were several storylines, one being that Quentin Spain, a guy who has basically held down that left tackle position since the start of last season, the Bills go out, they re-sign him this offseason to a three-year deal, and then two games in, decide that Cody Ford, who had, up to this point, never played in a game at left guard, certainly hasn't started one at left guard, gets the nod there. Do you get the sense, and are you buying some of the coach speak that we heard from Sean McDermott, that this was maybe just an opportunity for them to, it was a matchup because of Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald forces you to reconsider a lot of things and the game plans that you bring to a game in a given week? Or do you think there's something more to this?
I think that they're just not happy with the interior of their offensive line in general right now. I know that Matt Perino, who I work with at New York Upstate, said that it looked like the offensive line was the same at one of the practices this week in terms of Ford at left guard, Winters at right guard. But, you know, whatever combination they've been throwing out there on the interior of that offensive line, I haven't really come away overly impressed with it. You know, it's kind of the get well soon, John Feliciano, hope to see in 3 to 4 weeks or however long it may take. Because I think, one, they're missing that nastiness that he brings from a firing them up type standpoint. But, two, when he was healthy last year, he was great. And if you can plug him back in, whether it's at right guard or left guard, I think the interior gets that much better. I just think that right now they're just weighing all their options and saying, all right, well, let's get these guys some more snaps at these spots and see how they fare. But I've been actually underwhelmed by the interior of this offensive line, whereas I think, you know, Dan Dawkins has played very well at left tackle. I think that Darrell Williams has played very well at right tackle. I think that we might look back and say that he was the best free agent signing that they made in terms of the value that he's going to bring to the team this year in 2020. So I like the outside. Obviously, Morris has been solid at center, but it's been those two guard spots. I don't think that any combination that they've thrown out there so far has been that impressive or that great to date.
And I think maybe if we focus in on one guy in particular, Ryan, in Cody Ford. And, you know, I think what I'm most interested in, and this isn't a knock on Cody, but I think what I'm most interested in is seeing what a healthy John Feliciano does to the hierarchy of this offensive line. You mentioned guard play as being a real issue. With that being said, you know what hasn't been an issue is the right tackle spot. Darrell Williams has stepped in through three games and has looked more like the guy that we saw in Carolina 3 years ago than the guy we saw over the last two. And I think that's really important when talking about when John Feliciano gets back, because I don't think there's any doubt that with some of what you're talking about how they can't really be super thrilled about what they're getting on the interior part of their offensive line, John Feliciano is going back to the starting right guard position when he is healthy. I think that is all but secured. So what does that mean then for Cody Ford? Does that mean that he gets bumped back out to right tackle? And if that's the case, I can't see them pulling Darrell Williams out of the starting lineup right now.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'll say about this regime is they're not going to pull a guy just because you have a second-round pick that you're trying to find a role for or find a job for. Darrell Williams is in that right tackle spot. He's played extremely well. As long as he's healthy, that's his job until someone outperforms him at practice on a week-by-week basis, which I just don't see happening. They're not going to just give that job up. They reward the players that perform. And you know, real quick on Williams, I think the Bills got such a tremendous value for him this offseason because of the way that he was misused last year in Carolina. You cannot expect any player, any offensive lineman, maybe except for with the exception of Ryan Bates in a reserve role, to play at four different spots throughout the season. You're talking about starting him at left tackle, left guard, and right tackle at different times last year. Just starting two spots on the same side, whether it's guard and tackle, is hard enough for a player. Having him start at four, that's going to lead to a lot of mistakes, a lot of poor play, because he couldn't get settled into one spot. So Carolina's misuse of him last year has benefited the Bills to date. Four, I still think they like the guy. I still think they're going to try to figure out where his best spot is. But if anything, when Feliciano comes back, they might give Feliciano a look at left guard, too. Sean McDermott kind of joked a week or two ago where he said, yeah, I'd much rather have Feliciano at right guard and left guard than live tweeting these games. But we'll get him back sooner rather than later, hopefully. So I think they're open to either spot. So I'm not going to say he's necessarily the right guard. I think that's where they would definitely start him. But Ford, well, then he's competing against Quentin Spain for that left guard spot, or whoever else they might want to shuffle in there to try out. But they're not just going to hand a job to someone. You know, we saw in week one where A.J. Epenesa was inactive. They don't just hand jobs out based on where they were drafted or how much money they paid them in free agency. This team truly goes with the players that are performing the best.
Which has got to lead me to my final question for you offensively here, Ryan, is tight end. We know that Dawson Knox missed last week with an injury. It is expected he'll be back in the lineup this week. Do you suspect that we see more of a 50-50 split in snaps with him and Tyler Kroft, considering the offense, I mean, it didn't run through Tyler Kroft by any means. I think he ended the game four catches, 24 yards, two touchdowns. But he ends up having a really good game in place of Dawson Knox. And to your exact point you just made, you'd have to get the sense that Tyler Kroft is going to get maybe a longer look than he would have if Knox didn't miss last week.
Yeah, and you know, he had five targets, and his only target that he quote-unquote didn't catch was an interception that was in his hands as he hit the turf. So he has been reliable when his number was called upon. He made some plays for this team. I think it would be advantageous for the Bills to make it more of a 50-50 split once Dawson Knox returns to this lineup, whether it's which I expect to be tomorrow. But both guys do certain things well. There's way more athleticism out of Knox. He can get open. He can run free. He can create mismatches out there. But it's still the consistency, whether it's catching the ball, whether it's drops, whether it's looking ahead before he actually hauls it in, or whether it's a fumble. He made a big play in week two, and then he coughed it up, and that led to a turnover, which could have been, you know, costly. That was a very close game at the end of it. So there's still some flaws in his game. So I think kind of easing him back in, letting him kind of watch some of what Kroft does can benefit him long term. And then obviously reward Kroft for what you saw out of him. I'm not saying that this guy is a true number one tight end by any means, but he can produce for you. He can get open. He showed that he could get open in that game-winning touchdown. He ran a really nice route there. He's done what the Bills had expected out of him last year, but then last year he dealt with a lot of injuries. So reward your players that are performing. Ease Knox back into the lineup, and maybe that will help Knox long-term as well. Not just this year, but down the road where he can say, okay, here's what Kroft did. Here's, you know, he's securing the ball. He's still making plays for this team. I can do the same thing. If you're just asking me from a talent standpoint, Knox has so much more raw talent, but that doesn't always equate to instant production. And last year he was forced out of the field due to Kroft's injury. And even this year, you know, he earned the starting job, but let him kind of ease back in. I think it could benefit him this year and down the road.
All right, Ryan, appreciate you, brother. Thanks as always for bringing your insights. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you during the game tomorrow and throughout the weeks. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Ryan Talbot there, New York Upstate and the Western Hotline. Quick timeout. I got Joe Marino of the Draft Network and Locked On Bills. He's joining us next. We're going to continue. We're going to talk more defense as Ryan and I talked a lot of offense that segment. Another quick report for you, non-COVID related. Ian Rapoport reporting that Eagles left tackle Jason Peters has been placed on the injury reserve after an MRI revealed a toe injury that would take several weeks to heal, which is obviously another blow to the Philadelphia Eagles, who just cannot stay healthy and haven't been for the better part of 2 years. So quick time out of the side. Sports Talk Saturday continues on here on WGR. All right, everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Nick Geary here, hanging out with you for another hour and a half. Got Joe Marino of the Draft Network and Locked On Bills coming up here in just a moment. We've got more guests, too, if you must know. We've got kind of a full jam-packed show today. We've got Scott Gulbranson. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is a host over for the Raider Nation Radio in Las Vegas, so we'll talk to him and get his thoughts on not only the matchup and some of the Bills storylines, but get his thoughts on some of the injuries the Raiders will be going that'll be dealing with as they play the Bills on Sunday. Likely no Henry Ruggs III. Definitely no Bryan Edwards. A lot of injuries piling up there for the Raiders. So we'll talk to Scott next hour. And then at right around 1:15, 1:20, you hear from Todd Height from Batavia Downs and Western New York OTB. we are going to. That's right. The Preakness is today. So we'll talk to Todd, get some of his thoughts on some of the races or some of the horses that that you should be looking at over the next several hours as we lead up to the Preakness. So we've got a lot on tap for you here for the next hour and a half. So and if you missed any of our the first half of our show, of course you can go to WGR550.com. On demand audio there is where to find all of our stuff. And it has been quite a day. I'll go on the record and I'll say it's been a really disappointing morning. And it's disappointing for a lot of reasons, but what I think I'm most disappointed in is watching the failure of what just seems to be leadership in general, whether it's the NFL, whether it's, you know, our local and federal leaders in the government. It just seems like over the last 48 hours that we're more out of control. There is less control over the, listen, at the end of the day, when were we ever really going to have control over COVID? I don't know that that was something that is, frankly, even realistic to think or to talk about. But I gotta say, it's really disappointing to see where we've come. I mean, we've known about this virus now for over 7 months. I mean, we've known about this virus since January. We knew it was coming. And for us to be where we are on October 3rd, it's disheartening. It's disappointing. And for everyone who just wants their sports without their side of drama and without a side of politics, good luck. I mean, it's the times we've entered. I don't know. It's a difficult one for me to wrap my head around. Just so much that could have been done that hasn't been done, whether it's due to negligence, whether it's due to ignorance. It's been a really disappointing day for transparency, for a lot of things.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And I know a lot of Bills fans, a lot of football fans are all kind of sitting in the same boat of being pretty pissed off about how this has been taken care of, whether it's does the NFL need to be in a bubble? Probably not. I mean, we saw Major League Baseball have a similar issue, right? Major League Baseball has the Marlins and Cardinals, and the Marlins don't play baseball for like 13 days. They made the playoffs, and they won a series. They beat the Cubs. So, you know, I think for everyone who's maybe freaking out today, there is some precedent to say, all right, like, we've seen Major League Baseball overcome this early in their return to play. So it's not like this is unprecedented and we don't know how to navigate the waters right now. But at the same time, it's disappointing. It really is. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Having some trouble connecting with our man Joe Marino. So if we get a chance to get a hold of him, we'll have him here in the next 15 or 20 minutes or so. But in the meantime, we'll move it over to phone calls. If anyone's got anything to say, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Obviously, COVID is on the front of everyone's mind today with everything going on in the NFL and abroad and outside of the NFL as well. Talking a little bit about what the NFL plans to do. The NFL, according to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, has indicated they will be moving the Colts and Bears game up to the 425 slot. So the Bills still will be the only team on CBS playing at 425, but there is now a Fox Sports game that will be broadcasted at 4 o'clock to sort of even out the 4 o'clock hour just a bit, as obviously the news that broke during our show in the first hour, the New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton has tested positive for COVID-19, as has practice squad quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, Jordan Tamu, which means both teams right now, the game is in doubt. Current reports have the NFL looking at Monday, but more likely Tuesday, as a logical postponement for this game, as long as, and this is the key, as long as no one else tests positive in the next 48 hours. Really, again, in the next 24 hours. But as Corey and I were kind of talking about to begin the show, the incubation period of this disease likely leads to more questions than we currently have answers for, meaning if Cam Newton has tested positive and we know he wasn't in some kind of quarantine and he's been spending the last week in the facility, in the training room, in the film rooms with his teammates, in the general locker room, that it is almost inevitable we're going to see more positive tests. Corey made another great point about Jordan Tamu, the Chiefs practice squad quarterback, who had all week been practicing on the scout team as Cam Newton running the scout team offense, which means he would have been directly in contact with the Chiefs starting defense every day at practice. So a very live situation that's playing out in real time, and it's remarkable. There's really no other word to describe sort of what we've seen over the last 48 hours. And then obviously last hour or this hour as well, we've heard from Philadelphia where Jason Peters is being placed on injury reserve. That is for a non-COVID related. By the way, we can give Joe Marino a call. Corey, apparently his daughter was messing with his phone and locked him out. Yeah, you'll love to see that.
Okay, no.
So we'll have Joe Marino here in just a minute for you as we talk a little bit more about this Bills Raiders matchup, but particularly the defense. Half hour, if you missed anything from our first half of the show, we talked with Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate, Sal Capaccio, and as well as Evan Silva. If you missed any of that, go to WGR550.com, on-demand audio. You can check it out there. It'll be up at the website here shortly if it's not already. So we've got a lot to still get to in terms of this matchup, and we've now got Joe Marino on the West Her Hotline to talk more defense with us. Joe, good to have you, brother. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Nate. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course. My pleasure. So I had Ryan Talbot on last half hour. We talked almost exclusively about the Bills offense. And I don't want to not ask you about Josh Allen because I haven't had you on for the first 2 weeks of the season, meaning you and I haven't had a real chance to discuss or hash out Josh Allen. We'll do that towards the end of the segment here. But where I want to start with you is the defense, because I do think it's an area of growing concern amongst Bills fans. And mostly, Joe, I think it's because there is this equation, this algorithm. And it started with consistent Bills defense plus a third-year step for Josh Allen plus Stephon Diggs equals potential Super Bowl team. And I think the equation now turns into, okay, well, Josh Allen's taken a year three step, but it's more of a leap than a step. So can Josh Allen's elevated play, potentially elite play, overcome some of the shortcomings that we're seeing early from this defense? Because I think what we're seeing early on is not something a lot of Bills fans expected to see through 3 weeks at the start of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Nate. I didn't expect to see the defense come out and play this poorly right off the bat. And I think there's two things that I would say if you're looking to find some optimism and things turning around is, first, defense across the league's been down. And as much as we maybe thought, logic tells us that you know, early in the season, offenses are typically behind defenses. The fact that there's no crowds, and I think, is really swaying things away from that normal tendency that we see early in the year where, you know, you all know you've seen Peyton Manning run an offense and he wants everyone to be quiet and shush and so he can get his calls out and get the checks taken care of. And really defenses seem to feed more off of that momentum from the crowd. And I think that's playing into it. The second thing that I would say, and probably more importantly, is that this combination of coaches and players has played really good defense in the past. And so it's not like you're asking this group to do something it hasn't done. They've proven they can play defense at a high level in this league. And it's not coming together right now, whether that's injuries to Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano kind of working themselves back in last week against the Rams, the defensive line not meeting expectations, Taron Johnson in the slot. You know, the Bills are running exclusively nickel defense. They haven't had three linebackers on the field for an entire snap this year. That's putting a lot on that slot defender in Taron Johnson, and I don't think he's played to standard. So, you know, I think you look at those two things and realize that they have the right ingredients in place. It's just not there yet, and that's true for a lot of teams.
Joe Moreno here on the Western Hotline. Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the things that comes out after that game last week is the issues in the run game. Darrell Henderson, I mean, gashed the Bills. It almost seems like at will, especially in that second half when that Rams team made that second half run to take the lead after going down 28-3. You know, I keep going back to 2 and 3 years ago, Joe, where I remember that Saints game where it was sort of the Alvin Kamara coming out party where Kamara and Ingram both run for 220 plus against the Bills defense. And then last year, I'm thinking about that Eagles matchup where both Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders both really have great days. That ends up being the difference in a Bills potential or in a Bills loss in an important October game. So, like, as interesting and maybe as fearful as people are about this Bills run game, we know that for the most part, this has been an organization, this has been a head coach and defensive coordinator who have been able to pivot when situations like that happen. And for most of the time, Joe, we're not talking about pivoting to a different scheme or modifying the scheme. It's getting guys in the right positions. And I think through 3 weeks, I think what I'm noticing is the interior defensive line is hurting mostly because there's not the one area, Joe, that there isn't a lot of continuity on the team right now is on the interior part of the defensive line. No Star Latulele. I think they're missing the continuity that he would be bringing and likely the level steady play that would be getting from your one technique. They've got three guys they're integrating back into the defense. Harrison Phillips coming off injury, Quentin Jefferson, who's new to the system, Vernon Butler, who's new to the system. So, like, it's not like these guys have been playing in the system. I mean, Vernon Butler's got experience in the system, but I guess what I'm saying is this is an inside part of the defense that's still likely working out the kinks.
Yeah, I think there's some merit to what you're saying there. I don't think gelling as a defensive line is anything like, you know, receivers and quarterbacks or offensive linemen. I think that it's a little bit more ready-made, if you will. There is some acclimation, so I don't want to discredit that at all. But I think where the disappointment comes, Nate, is that this is a $51 million defensive line. It's the most expensive defensive line in football, and they chose to let Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson walk. And they, you know, seemingly rather have guys like Mario Addison and Quentin Jefferson and Vernon Butler and obviously A.J. Epenesa in the second round to go with what already existed. And obviously, you know, I don't think they were planning on Star Latulele not being around, but there's still, I mean, even with Latulele contracts off the books, this is over 20% of the team's salary cap commitments. And I can understand why there would be disappointment for the way things are going so far. And, you know, just with those expectations, and I don't think they've been met so far, but a lot of season left. They're good football players. It's a, you know, Eric Washington's his first year as a defensive line coach for this team, but we kind of thought that would be more of a plug and an upgrade over Coach Teerlink. And obviously, you know, Washington, the former defensive coordinator for the Panthers and familiarity with Sean McDermott. So, you know, it's not, you're exactly right. It's the one piece of this team where there wasn't continuity, but as much as you say that, you feel like it's the one place where they chose not to have and they feel like they probably made upgrades in their mind.
Yeah, and obviously, too, Joe, another storyline I'll be definitely paying attention to this week is the infusion of Josh Norman into this Bills defense. You and I spoke about him almost ad nauseum this summer. You and I weren't the only ones talking about where he would ultimately fit. Would we see him sort of elevate his play from the previous two or three years we've seen in Washington? Do you get the sense that Levi Wallace has played well enough to still be the guy that starts this game, that gets a majority of the snaps with some supplemental snaps from Josh Norman? Or do you get the sense that maybe Josh Norman is a guy that they're going to ease along, wait until he's 100% healthy to get in this lineup? Or do you think maybe they just go with Josh Norman back in the starting lineup for this week?
I think the good news is, regardless of those options, you know the floor is Levi Wallace. And I think this was actually kind of a really good three-game sample size to get the full Levi Wallace experience, if you will, where he seemed to be fine in week one against the Jets. Miami big boys him, and you see all the things that frustrate you about Levi Wallace in terms of some of his size and athletic limitations, and then, you know, he bounces back with an interception and plays mostly well against the Rams. And you know that, you know that's what you're getting from Levi Wallace. And so what you hope Josh Norman can provide is either an upgrade or a better depth option behind a Wallace. So it doesn't seem to be anything where, you know, I don't think he's not able to help the defense. I just don't think he'll be able to hurt the defense. And because you do have that floor in Levi Wallace, my expectations for Josh Norman are pretty low based on the way he played in Washington, and that he's an aging player that has a declining athletic profile, and he never had a good athletic profile to begin with. So I have my doubts from that perspective, but knowing what the floor is in Levi Wallace, no matter what the plan is, you know, it makes you feel good about where this pass defense can continue to be.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, it's my duty to ask you about Josh Allen. Like I said, we haven't really had an opportunity to discuss what has been a truly remarkable leap. This isn't a year three jump. Yeah. It's not a year three step. It so far has been a year three leap. Now, my question to you, I'm not going to ask you to predict whether or not this is something that's sustainable through a 17-game schedule or a 16-game schedule, 17-week schedule. But I think at the end of the day, what I am going to ask you, Joe, is has he shown you enough that how he's beating defenses, and the thing I'll keep saying and I'll hammer home, and I know you'll agree with me on this, is that what I'm most impressed with, Joe, is he's done it against three different teams with three very different defensive philosophies. You know, you have that blitzing Jets defense that runs a lot of cover two, a lot of Tampa two. Then you've got that week two matchup that they're running almost exclusively man and cover one across the board. And then last week, a lot of quarters coverage. He's doing it against a lot of different looks defensively, and nothing that defenses are throwing his way are able to confuse Josh Allen. To me, that is the sustainable part of this. It may not be the 400-yard games. It may not be some of the things we're seeing from week in and week out, but what I do think is sustainable is if he's able to understand how to conflict defenses and do so with Brian Daboll from a game plan perspective, I do think that's something that he can carry in week in and week out and be the guy that we're seeing for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Well, I love that point, Nate. I mean, you hit it on the head there. Just three completely stylistically different defenses, and Josh Allen had the answers and knew where the answers were against all of them, and I think that was a bit of the frustration last year. It's, you know, how could he find the answers based on the way the defense is playing? And we've seen him answer that question significantly. I guess I'll take the opportunity to say this about Josh Allen. It didn't happen overnight, and I think that's where I've been a little bit disappointed in some of this this feedback and, okay, why is this happening? This has been a gradual thing, and his starting point, Nate, we know this was pretty low coming out of Wyoming. There's a reason so many people doubted him. He had very real issues and concerns to work on. And, you know, as much as we want to credit Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and Ken Dorsey and Stephon Diggs and continuity, Josh Allen deserves the credit for his growth. That man has worked extremely hard to overcome some issues that most guys, quite frankly, don't. And it's a testament to how he's worked and prepared and gotten better and improved. Certainly all the things that I mentioned there helps. But let's give Josh Allen the most credit for Josh Allen's improvement, because what we've seen from three games so far this year has been what I think is a gradual progression that he's made since he walked into the NFL. Think about the player you watched at Wyoming. Think about that player you watched the first half of his rookie season, late in his rookie season, early in year two, late in year two, and now here. I mean, it's been this gradual climb, and it's all uphill. Eventually there's a ceiling, right? Eventually the plateau happens. But I'd want to make sure that we give most of the credit for Josh Allen's improvement to Josh Allen, because he's worked really hard to overcome some stuff that other guys typically can't.
Yeah, man, totally agree with that. And that's the one immeasurable thing that go find a data point or an analytic data point that will show you a person's ability to learn. And it's hard to put a number or data point on his level of care. And it's very obvious from the yep. very beginning, he's cared about being the best quarterback that he can possibly be. He's got that chip on his shoulder, and you just can't measure that. And I think that's the one thing that when you're looking at these algorithms and you're looking at analytics, it's hard to measure what Josh Allen has done, because a lot of what he's done has been immeasurable traits. And I think that's a great point, Joe. All right, man, I appreciate you, brother. I'll let you go. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll be talking soon again, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Nate.
Thanks. Joe Marino there of the Draft Network and of Locked On Bills. Quick timeout. I got to take two timeouts again. We're going to start next hour with more guests and more Bills Raiders talk. All that's coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday and WGR. All right, all any if you missed any of our show, the first 2 hours, head to WGR550.com on demand audio. Corey has confirmed to me through sources that all sound is up there. So if you missed any, you can head there now. Otherwise, we're going to take another timeout. I know this third segment has basically just turned into nothing, which I'm fine with. Scott Gulbranson of Silver Black Today Radio on the Raiders radio network. He's going to join us coming up next. We're going to talk Raiders, get his thoughts on the team, the 2-1 schedule through their 2-1 record for the first 3 weeks, and what their outlook looks like for the rest of the season. So Scott will join us next, and then Todd Height next hour as well to talk a little Preakness action. All of that coming up next half hour here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.